Is that the natives? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're getting restless, huh?
I suppose we haven't heard of them in a while. I can see a douche for a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, how much time have we got left? So I've got the bunster to put on.
Halfway.
Okay, I'll put the bunster on.
Okay.
The bunster, bunster.
The bunster, bunster.
Three. Okay. Putting the bunster on.
Okay.
We're putting bunny on.
How's it going, sweetheart?
It's going good.
Excellent.
Well, guess how I integrated my personalities?
No.
I just accepted them.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I still have both aspects as part of me, but it's fully integrated. I enjoy all the little quirks and things that those two have.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, you sound much better, I'll tell you.
Uh-huh.
Sound like a vastly improved monster.
And very horny bunny as well. Bunny.
Sorry, bunny.
Thank you.
I see the bunny monster.
Mm-hmm. Bunny monster is fine. Bunster, no. Bunster in Syrian.
Yeah, well, there's a Syrian connotation to this?
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding me.
Is subservient.
You're joking me. There's a Syrian word, bunster.
Bunster. Not bunster, bunster.
Still, that's pretty dang close.
Mm-hmm. That's why I say no.
Oh, wow.
I am not subservient.
Oh, of course not, now that I know.
I think the thing would be, Kara's looking at me strange. It's a lowland sea area. It's actually the area I'm from.
Oh.
Basically, it means subservient, property of,
well, no,
which I'm not quite sure what that would be.
Kara wouldn't know about those because
no.
She's not from there.
No, but it's subservient and property of a chattel.
How interesting.
Which I don't know what the common word would be that you have.
It would be slave.
Which is?
A kept person, owned person, I guess you could
There's
say.
Nothing wrong with being kept, but owned is no.
Yeah, owned, I guess, would be the word you could say, mm-hmm. Like cattle.
Yes, that's basically what it's like.
Right, okay.
So what do you want to know?
Well, I want to know how your time's being spent down here in your secluded sabbatical from work and college and all that kind of stuff.
I did quite a bit of walking whilst I was trying to integrate my personalities.
Normal.
Mm-hmm. Went out for long walks. And then actually, the thing is, I actually enjoyed not being recognised. Yeah.
Was that a problem for you?
Mm-hmm. I think I look good in bright red hair. Yeah, that bright red. I don't like wearing contacts, making my eyes as light as green that they are. I think I'll keep my eyes natural, but I do like this light red.
Good.
Mm-hmm. It does set off my skin tone real good.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it should.
Yeah. I do like having longer hair, too. I bet my hair grow.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, probably look better for you.
Yeah.
Oh, well, everything's going well, then.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, excellent. Looking forward to your trip back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spend 2 weeks with the family.
Oh, good.
And then, in September,
mm-hmm.
I have 2 whole months.
Well, I guess I better hit the base.
I'm going to spend probably October time on the base.
Hmm. That'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Spend all of October.
So is your new girlfriend a base personnel packet?
No.
She's back on the... Serious?
Mm-hmm. She's actually...
Is horribly, I hope?
She's a graduate. Well, she has a boyfriend too.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So not missing you horribly.
Actually, he's a nice guy. He just didn't understand the fact that I was having psychological problems.
Well, not many people could.
Nah. She was very tender about the whole entire thing.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, anybody talking to you would still think that you're hyper-intelligent anyway.
except for when I was in the Leica mode where I was very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Pounded somebody's face for no reason whatsoever. Actually, I think he was hitting on me, and I didn't like the way that he was hitting on me.
Well, there's class and there's taste, and then there's classless and tasteless.
Yeah, thinking back on it, it was. I could have got rid of him just by giving him the kiss off, instead of just turning around and whooping his ass.
Well, you probably have something where people think that, you know, maybe a kind word and a good comment might actually get something like a session with you, probably.
Well, he was very blatant. He said, "How much for you?"
Well, even down here, that's tasteless.
Mm-hmm. But I have
everywhere that's tasteless.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have been known to go for that kind of offer and be just as, if I'm really horny,
right,
just as upfront. I did it for a guy. He offered me 10 acres of land for a afternoon.
Hmm. Well, the thing is, what's inexcusable is you're both telepaths.
Mm-hmm.
Down here, it's tasteless.
Yeah.
And you're not even telepaths down here.
Mm-hmm.
Up there with your telepaths, that's doubly tasteless.
It was on the eye mode.
Yeah, it's even worse.
Yeah. But the guy that gave me 10 acres, yeah, hey, he didn't even last 2 hours.
Well, you ever go visit your acreage?
Mm-hmm. It's nice acreage.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. It actually butts on to about half of it has a whole load of blue flowers on it.
Wow, there you go. It's an investment property at that point. There.
Mm-hmm. He didn't even know that. He just thought it was mountain stuff. I went up there. He'd never been up there.
Oh, inherited land.
Mm-hmm. So I went up there and checked it out, and I'm walking around the property perimeter, and I've got out my guide, and it's sort of like I come across all these blue flowers that are just budding, and I'm going, and I follow the guide, and I follow the guide, and half an acre of it is blue flowers.
Wow. You're a blue flower farmer now.
I had approximately 12 dozen produced from there.
Oh,
this year, if I'd been farming it instead of letting it go natural, I would have taken a loss. Because we got 3 crops out of it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And they weren't even that good.
Well,
I tried to use them as a cure for my problem.
Uh-huh.
And it just made me worse.
There's a problem down here with alcohol.
Mm-hmm. I just went from one personality to another a lot faster.
Mm.
I remember on one occasion being so confused by what was going on, I just sat in my room and cried all night.
Anyway, good to have you back, friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm back, but I still have that aspect, but they're controlled.
Well, that's good. Like I say, it's probably strengthened you.
Oh, yeah, I think it has.
Okay, sweetheart. Have fun.
Uh-huh.
Go nuts. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Hi, Tia.
Yes?
Busy night tonight?
I think Tia's going to be very busy.
Ah. Who's this?
Huh?
Is this Curry?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. She started walking towards the pyramid, and Bunny just leapt out and pushed her to the ground, kissing her all over. And she's not fighting her off.
Well, no, nobody fights Bunny off.
Mm-hmm. And Kara's laughing. I don't think Kara knows what Bunny's up to.
She'll figure it out. She's a smart girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hawk it.
Let me put on the last speaker. We have the time, I believe. You want to check?
Let's check. You better make it quick.
Hey, Russ.
Hey, what's up, Leo?
Oh, usual stuff. Watching my sister trying to seduce your bondmate.
what's trying means. There's nothing trying about it. Mm-hmm. So how you doing, Don?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, how has life been treating you like lately?
Pretty good, pretty good. I missed my love, though.
Which one?
I only have one love.
I'm kidding.
Mm-hmm. She's getting a bad reputation, you know.
Who, your love?
Uh-huh.
For what?
For being harsh.
Well, she has every right to be. Look what happens while she was gone.
Didn't Mark tell you what she told us?
What?
That there was a girl cleaning behind Mark. And she's going,
I heard that one.
Oh, you did? I thought that was hilarious.
That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'll admit that.
Told the whole thing at the breakfast table the other day. Thought it was hilarious.
Well, no, like I didn't hear that.
No.
So.
She came back late last night.
Oh, did she?
And then she was gone pressing this morning. And fortunately, I'd finished my homework, so I spent all day kind of tired. I took a nap before dinner, so I'm much better. Didn't get any sleep last night.
Well, why should you? Your love's in town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we tried out what my sister's designed.
What's she designed?
Actually, she designed a strap-on.
Another one?
Now, this is a special one. This is a prototype. Because Leica wants a baby. She wants my baby.
Oh, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've heard about that one.
It's set on the timer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have heard of that one.
Mm-hmm.
So have you had a chance to really get trying that out?
We tried it out.
Test driving it?
We gave it a test run last night.
And?
It works good.
So, everyone's happy with it?
Uh-huh. Now, all we got to do is get the correct material to make artificial sperm.
Well, why don't you just get real sperm?
Well, it's going to have my DNA and Leica's DNA and hopefully a guy's DNA to make it stable.
Yeah, you're doing that extra chromosome there.
Yes. Because, yeah, if they make artificial sperm out of my DNA,
right,
it's guaranteed to be a baby girl.
True. True.
And a baby girl that is sterile.
True.
And okay, getting down to some engineering critiques, you definitely need some RF filters in there. The omnidirectional microphone is working at the maximum of its range. Also, you're getting some bleed in from the wiring sensors in the radio tuner there, which can be minimized with using filters.
There's only one little problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a radio filter on, or a radio tuner on there.
Okay, so why is it picking up the radio station if it doesn't have a tuner?
Same way a phone does.
Okay, so you need to minimize that by putting some filters in there of some kind.
Yeah, probably.
Figure something out. I don't know
what.
Okay. In the meantime, levels look pretty good. I'm getting green across the board.
Okay, we're online. Everything looking fine. Okay. So what do you guys want to know?
Well, let's see. How's the pregnancy coming along, Bill?
Uncomfortable. My back hurts. I have a tiny bladder. My feet are swelling. My fingers hurt. My knees hurt. My back hurts. My stools are okay.
Thanks for sharing. There is a God.
I'm not suffering from constipation. My iron levels are good. I'm still keeping reasonably in shape by doing a lot of walking. Without giving out too much information. The baby's developing fine. The baby's very talkative. The baby definitely doesn't like hot, spicy foods, unlike Lee and Evie's, who seem to revel in that stuff.
And I understand the baby's also a girl.
I never said that it was a girl.
Mark did.
I never told Mark that it was a girl. I said it may or may not be a girl. It may or may not be a boy. That's the reason why I have been very gender neutral.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying, I know what the baby is. The baby knows what the baby is. But we're not saying.
Oh.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What?
Well, what is prerogative? What am I going to say?
Mother and
mother's prerogative.
Mother and baby's prerogative.
Mother and baby's prerogative.
It's agreed until birth.
Until birth.
Yeah, there's no hiding at that point.
Mother's prerogative no longer exists, correct?
Mm-hmm. At least I don't have Tia's problem that I have to make a nest. She likes to make nests when she gets pregnant. It's a holdover thing that she gets these urges to, much like I've had urges for cream and mushrooms or raw shrimps, things like that.
Not cooked. So I understand your flower crop is looking good.
Depends on how you look at it.
As in bad weather, but good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You sold them all, if I heard right.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Yes, I've sold them all. And the highest bidder gets the crops. I'm selling them in groups of 12. So 12 flowers at the moment are running close to about 30 cases. It's the highest offer so far.
For 12 flowers?
Mm-hmm.
30 cases?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what 30 cases
are. It's cases of wine.
Mm-hmm.
You have 12 bottles of wine.
Right.
Then you have 30 of those to get your 12 flowers.
Mm-hmm.
30 cases of wine. And how many flowers have you got looking at?
I'm looking at probably... In one section, I'm definitely going to have 12 dozen. That's in one quarter. In the next quarter, probably twice that. In another quarter, it's going to be half of that. And then in the last quarter, it may be only probably 3 dozen. That's the area that's still under deep snow right now.
It's a lot of flowers.
No, not really.
It's
about half of normal.
It's more wine than we could put in this house at any one time.
Oh, yeah.
We'd have to stop living here just to store the wine here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I keep all of my wine in the broom closet.
Good call. I would too.
Mm-hmm.
Temperature controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Maintained.
It's a unit deep, it's 3 units high, and 2 units across.
To the
mesh. It's not even a quarter full.
You have a big forklift to take stuff in there.
No, I just put it in the doorway and push. Getting it out is always a problem, though.
That would be a bit of a problem. How do you do that?
Bottle by bottle.
No, what I actually do is I send a little robot in that seeks out what I want, and each one is tagged and labeled so the robot can find it, and then it brings out the case.
Mm-hmm. That's handy.
And I program it to do it. However, sometimes I have to build new ones, as the last one that I sent in there is still searching.
There it is up on top.
No.
Oh, gee, it's a flat robot.
No, it's more along the lines of the instability of a fifth-dimensional workspace.
Tough little guys to get around in there.
Mm-hmm. I think it's lost in there somewhere.
Sad.
Do you know the physics of fifth-dimensional space?
Mm-mm, I don't.
Okay. In fifth-dimensional space, things do not appear as they seem. For example, let's find two objects of dissimilar size.
Two objects of similar size. That should be really easy.
Preferably a matchbox and a small matchbox, by the way, in a book.
Hmm.
No, failing that.
How about a CD in a book?
How about this?
A cassette will work.
A cassette next to you.
And
got the cassette case in this box here, which is slightly larger.
Okay.
Grander size, let's say.
Okay.
Now, we have two objects here of different proportional size. And this is an explanation of fifth dimensional space. Okay, now, this one is bigger. In fact, it's so big that we cannot do this, and it fits inside. Thank you. Okay, now, it's a perception thing. We put this one here. Okay, that one there is still bigger than this one. However, Marilyn.
Yes, I know this.
Okay, now, if you hold that one up in front of that, right. In front of that one,
I can make it disappear.
And that is one explanation of the appearance of the fifth dimensional workspace. But that is actually bigger than that, which isn't the case.
Okay.
Because we know that that box there is bigger than that cassette case.
Okay.
But it appears to be bigger when you hold it up close.
So perception is?
That's correct. Perception is one of the things to do with the fifth dimensional workspace. That is part of how I can get over 500,000 cases of wine into a room closet. Okay, now, the other thing about the fifth dimensional workspace is that the laws don't stay constant. For example, this in the fifth dimensional space or in the third dimensional space does this. Now, if I was to do that in a fifth dimensional space, it may end up on the ceiling. Or it could end up on the wall. Also, because of the instability of the fifth dimensional workspace, let's say you wanted to walk out the door and go to the bathroom. In the fifth dimensional workspace, you could get up and start walking. And on one occasion, it may be just a simple walking across the room and into the bathroom. But another time, you could walk and take one step and the door is just as far away as it was when you were sitting. So you take a second step and it appears the same distance. And you can walk and walk and walk and end up walking for several hours all day and never get to the door. But if you were to turn around, walk out through the glass door, opening it first, of course, and walk around, you'd get to the bathroom. However, the next time that you try to do that, you may find that you can't get to that door because that door is so far away that you keep on walking and walking and walking. Sometimes it would be easier to walk up the wall, across the ceiling, and out the door instead of walking directly towards it. So it varies from time to time because of the instabilities. Okay. Let's answer some questions before I proceed.
Is anybody in the third dimension ever adequately explain the mechanics of the fifth dimension?
Not really. It's hard for us sometimes. But the fifth dimension has some very useful properties. For example, the fact that you can store vast quantities of stuff in there. There are times where if it becomes too unstable, my broom closet would start spewing cases of wine out until it closed down to be totally the reverse of what it appears to be right now. However, because of the generators that are mounted within the retaining walls of the broom closet that help to create the stability, it won't do that. If I remove those, it could double, quadruple in size. And the poor little robots I send in to get my various cases of wine that I want may be there until whenever. But just as quickly as it can expand, it can also contract and reverse the process.
So just like molecules with heat and cold, they expand in heat and become, in essence, larger like steam or... Mm-hmm. contract with cold like ice.
That's correct.
So you have the same volume, but it does change because of the speed of the molecules.
That's correct. And with the fifth dimensional space, it doesn't quite depend on hot or cold.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on gravities.
Okay.
As the gravity changes and shifts, it will contract or expand. If the gravity is more dense, it spreads it out more. If it's less dense, it tends to contract to maintain the same space.
But you have the same mass.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like with third dimensional, with the old, you know, mass is neither created nor destroyed.
That's correct.
It's in the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I get it. So you have gravity generators mounted on the walls to control its size.
Correct. To keep it constant. And they have to keep adjusting because it doesn't always stay constant.
I get it. How do they? Do they just they have like a measuring device on it, measures the gravity, and adjust it to or down to mm-hmm. that particular one that you mm-hmm. want to achieve?
That's correct.
So if the engines were to fail somehow, you could lose your entire stock of wine?
Mm-hmm. It would either expand so rapidly that the wine would be ripped to pieces with the expansion. Or I could end up with bottles of wine, each one being 10 foot tall. Or, because of the contraction, it would squash everything down. I could end up with wine bottles this size.
Are there any limitations in either direction?
It depends on the area that you're using. If you're using, for example, my broom closet, there are limitations on how far out it will stretch.
Okay.
It will stretch out to approximately mathematics time, about a mile and a half. That's if the generators were to fail. Or it would compress to a foot by a foot by a foot, a cube.
Okay.
Half a million cases of wine into a foot-by-foot cube.
Small wine.
That's the minimum. Now, here's an interesting thing. If the generators fail, I said the wine would be pushed out. That's not exactly true. It would be better. If the generators failed, the wine isn't destroyed. The same with if it expands, the wine's not destroyed. See what you've done? You've started me having difficulty with words. But what happens is, as I hinted, I would have bottles of wine either 10 foot tall or yay big.
So even the contents accommodate the...
That's correct.
Should I say the holder of them? I mean, like, if you had something within a balloon,
mm-hmm.
and that...
That's actually a very good analogy. Is that it is like a balloon.
Okay.
You blow up the balloon... And it gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And it will hold more.
Mm-hmm.
You let the air out and it contracts and it holds less.
So, and do dimensions, say you have something that's, you know, 10 by 10
mm-hmm.
and something 20 by 20.
Mm-hmm.
Do they both have limits to their expansion in consideration to their original? Is there an original size? I guess that's what I'm getting to. Or is everything constantly moving? Everything adjusting at all times?
Everything is adjusting at all times. However, with the stability generators, it minimizes that. The generators themselves actually adjust to keep it constant.
It'd be a real shame to go out of your abode, whatever it be. It's just a small one.
Mm-hmm. It would be a shame.
Sounds like you're almost harnessing the power of a tame black hole without the incredible gravities.
That would be one way to describe it, is a tame black hole. But it's not. Because a black hole is actually intense gravity. Mm-hmm. This is not intense gravity.
It can be absence of gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be absence.
Well, the gravity helps to keep the stability.
You have to keep everything on the ground. Absence of gravity would be all floating around there.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a real mess for the rodents.
Mm-hmm. It would be. It would be. Everything. Gravity is applied in the normal means that you understand. But it's not always as it seems. The perception part is something that is very useful. For example, I made the statement that you could walk up walls. You quite literally can. And your perception would be that people would be sitting on the walls or holding onto the walls to stop themselves from falling off.
People go bonkers studying the fifth dimension.
The absence of gravity doesn't mean I'm not studying no gravity. I'm just saying that, you know, different levels of gravity. I mean, there's different on each planet. There's a different gravitational pull. Less and more. So, and even the moon isn't without gravity to my knowledge. It's just a much different.
It's one fifth of your gravity.
So it's just a different.
That's correct. And it's all to do with the relative mass of the size of the body. Now, for example, the moon is about one fifth the size of your planet, correct? So the gravity is one fifth. Whereas if you look at somewhere much larger, let us take one of our favorite heavenly bodies here, Jupiter, and have a look at it. At the core, gravity is so intense that if you were to go to the core, you would be about, half an inch thick and about 8 miles wide, or even less than half an inch.
I think I do understand.
Okay. It's a little tricky. It's a little tricky. Don't underestimate yourself. You're actually extremely smart. And you know that.
Time would have a funny thing to do in the fifth dimension.
But how do you mean?
Well, because you have the fourth dimension would intrude on the fifth dimension at some point.
No, it doesn't. The second dimension also intrude on the third.
Right, so time interacting with the fifth dimension would probably screw up your time perception as bad as your distance and directional sense.
Not as much as you think. Does time affect the third dimension?
Absolutely.
In the normal linear line that you are used to,
correct?
And it does in the same way. In the fifth, time does pass. It doesn't pass any more rapidly or any more slowly, but it is slightly different.
Okay. And again, then again, it's slightly different than the sixth. So your dimension, your perception of time is different from my perception of time.
Yes. The fact that, to use one of Skip's phrases, I am a snot-nosed kid, is quite true. Even though Skip and myself are only, I think, 6 months to a year younger than Skip. In my time, I am a snot-nosed kid. I can live up to 1,000 years old.
Well, that's pretty young for most people. Higher dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm starting to get a better idea of it anyway, of what takes place in the fifth. But
it's not always as it appears, which is the most important thing.
But the fact is, it's been, you're able to harness it and use it as a bit of a tool.
Yes. It's also a very useful teaching tool to understand things.
Stick somebody in a room in the fifth dimension for an hour?
Yeah, I can't.
All the meaning to time out.
But it's also can be quite torturous, especially if you have a disposition towards indulging in vast quantities of food. You can put a plate of food down in front of somebody and maybe, or maybe not, they can get to it.
That'd take your alcoholism in a heartbeat.
Yeah, an example is that you do have a glass of wine sitting on the table right in front of you, and you can reach for the glass of wine, which is just as far away. So you lean further, and it's still just as far away. But if you get up and walk around to the other side of the table...
What if you have a dream I had once? Something very similar that happened to me. It's very disconcerting.
The one I like is where I put my arms up just like this and somebody thinks I'm standing on my head.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I've done that just to goof with people. Yeah, I've actually stood on my head and somebody's walked into a fifth-dimensional space and they look at me like, Kiri, are you standing on the floor or are you standing on your head? I'll tell them I'm standing on the floor. Which really plays with them.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm used to the fifth-dimensional workspace. I use it sometimes for engineering projects.
What good would that come?
Oh, there's lots of goods that can come from it. By amplifying the local gravitational field, I can take a microcircuit board that's this big, and I can make it this big. Oh. Which means...
That would help in your robotic work.
Mm-hmm. Or did I let a little trade secret out there?
You'd possibly hide it.
Correct.
Well, it's not one we can use down here.
It's just, well, alrighty.
How do you think I make such beautiful and powerful little robots that stand yay tall?
What's interesting, though, is if you were able to manipulate the fifth dimension on the sixth dimension,
mm-hmm.
how come we can't manipulate the fifth dimension on the third dimension? Because we're not past it yet, or the fact we don't have the technology to do so.
Both. You need one to get to the other to achieve the other. Now, also, there are some very interesting things that you can do with the fifth dimensional space. As I've already stated, you can take a circuitry board that is that big, make it that big, however big you want it, and you can go through the wiring process. And then by removing the gravitational field that you're using to either stretch or contract, you can... go back to the original size. But it will never be smaller than the original size. You can make it bigger, much, much bigger.
Why can't it get smaller if the wind can get smaller?
I can make it smaller, but once I take it out, it returns to its normal size. Let me clear that up.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Okay.
For example, if I was to take the bottles of wine that are yay big, bring them out, and as I bring them out, they become bigger.
Well, let's say 500,000 cases, mm-hmm. and you put them all in the size of a shoebox.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want to take the shoebox out at any point.
No, because the weight would be such that it would be impossible to lift it. See, the weight doesn't change.
Oh, that makes a difference.
The volume inside doesn't change.
Does
it? Just
becomes more dense.
That's correct. That's the word I was looking for, wasn't it? But it is in my vocabulary, but it's difficult sometimes for me to call up words.
Understood.
Yeah. Anyway, coercion. Now, we've covered the moral ethics. Russ is probably sick and tired of me going over the moral ethics.
No, actually, they're quite handy to always get refreshed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Self-gratification is a no-no with coercion. For example, coercing some guy to come and join me for some fun. That's a no-no. Coercing somebody to do something that is beneficial to myself. That's a no-no. Coercing somebody to do something that is good for their health, it depends. It depends on whether or not it will subtract or add to their learning lesson. Okay, let's say that they need to learn in their life that drinking is going to kill them. Let us say I could coerce somebody to stop drinking. But they've got to learn that killing and drinking will kill them, and they've got to stop on their own. If I stop them, they learn nothing. However, let's say that they're the sole supporter of offspring. if I coerce them to stop drinking, I am now affecting their children, who will continue to be able to function as a family. One is good, one is bad. By taking away a learning lesson, that is bad. But by protecting other people, by keeping them from learning that lesson, is good. So there's a moral dilemma there. Which do you do? Do you let them carry on in their own little world and destroy themselves and have to come to the conclusion, possibly when it's too late, that it's bad for them? Or do I intervene and coerce them to stop drinking? Which do I do? Which would you do, Russ?
I would basically convince them of the fact that the reality of the situation do they want a happy long life? Do they want a short
happy
sort
life.
Of happy life? I mean, they have to look at, you know, the responsibilities, and they've got to put them on a scale.
You haven't answered the question. The question is not how you stop them from drinking. Do you coerce them to stop drinking? Or do you not coerce them?
Well, that's the moral dilemma there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for myself, I'd say, yes, I'd stop drinking. They've got kids.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, you know, other people besides themselves to be responsible for. Drinking isn't going to make that any better.
Mm-hmm.
And if I coerce them, they think they did it on themselves.
Okay. Marilyn. What do you
think?
Kids are involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're destroying more than just one life if the kids are around mm-hmm. an alcoholic parent.
Mm-hmm.
So, in deference to the indefensible, which are basically children,
mm-hmm.
I believe that one should use coercion.
There actually is no correct answer. There is no answer. It is one of the questions that is posed to us, but it's actually using addiction to other things, not alcohol. But I changed it to suit the third dimension. It is one that you have to justify yourself. But do you intervene? Now, the next level to that is maybe it's the children's purpose in life to learn how to deal with that situation, which makes it harder. When you have one person alone, do you interfere in an alcoholic's life to straighten them out on their path? Or is it something that they have to learn to deal with, to learn all the problems relating to alcoholism?
Well, we've addressed this problem numerous times, in numerous situations, with mm-hmm. different scenarios every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most common thread we finally reached was the fact that if you do nothing, then that's what you're supposed to do. If you do something, then that's what you're supposed to do.
But it depends on each circumstance.
Right.
So the learning part is the important thing. The morals that come with coercion is making decision when to interfere. You can definitely say self-gratification is a no-no. It gets more difficult the further you progress into it. For example, the alcoholic. We've covered that. We've covered both the single alcoholic and the alcoholic responsible for other people. Let us say that the alcoholic now is somebody that you care about, somebody important in your life. Do you coerce that person to stop being an alcoholic?
I think you have to ask yourself the question, are you doing it for you or are you doing it for them?
Mm-hmm.